Have you ever dropped something and just for a second thought about that invisible thing pulling it down? Or maybe you just, appreciate the solid ground under your feet. Feel so permanent.
Right, it anchors us. It feels totally fundamental, almost simple.
Exactly. But the real nature of what holds us down, and honestly, what sculpts the entire universe, it's incredibly complex, still full of mysteries,
A super
actually.
deep mystery.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Today, we're doing a deep dive into exactly that, gravity. We've gathered a whole load of insights here, combing through old historical accounts, really mind-bending theories, and the latest astrophysics.
It's quite the collection.
Our goal is basically to walk you through its amazing story, how our understanding has changed over time, from ancient ideas right up to Einstein's warped space-time, and even where we're stuck now.
And it's a huge story. Like you said, gravity feels simple, that constant pull, but it's genuinely one of the universe's most profound interactions. We won't just define it. We'll explore how our thinking evolved, sometimes completely flipped, over thousands of years. And crucially, the big questions still pushing physics today.
Okay, let's start with where we are now, sort of the modern view. Gravity is seen as a fundamental interaction. Essentially, it's a field generated by a source, like mass. What's really wild is its range, infinite.
The reach, yeah. Even though it gets weaker with distance, technically it goes on forever. It connects everything to everything else.
So why does that matter for, the big picture?
Well, what's truly foundational, I think, is how gravity is basically the main architect of the universe's large structures.
Architect. How so?
Think about the very early universe, just clouds of hydrogen, maybe some dark matter. Gravity is what slowly pulled that stuff together,
Okay.
coalescing, clumping, eventually forming the first stars. And that same pull builds up galaxies, even huge clusters of galaxies. Without gravity, our cosmic neighborhood, it just wouldn't look anything like this. No planets, no stars as we know them.
Just cosmic dust, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, a thin soup.
Now, for centuries, the best explanation we had was Newton's, Isaac Newton.
A giant leap, absolutely.
He proposed that every object with mass attracts every other object,
Oh.
and he figured out how proportional to their masses,
Right, more mass, more pull.
and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them.
That inverse square bit is key. It gets weaker fast as things get further apart.
He even gave us the math. F equals g times m prime over r squared, a really concrete predictive formula.
And incredibly successful for centuries. But here's a fascinating paradox about its scale.
Go on.
Gravity is immensely powerful on cosmic scales, right? It holds galaxies together, governs black holes.
Yeah, it runs the show out there.
But zoom way down to the subatomic level. It's astonishingly weak, like almost laughably weak.
Weaker than, say, magnetism.
Oh, vastly weaker. Take two electrons. The electrical repulsion between them is stronger than their gravitational attraction by a factor of, well, it's about four, with 42 zeros after it.
Wow. Okay, that's hard to even picture. 10 to the 42.
Exactly. It's why when physicists talk about particle interactions or how atoms stick together, they basically just ignore gravity. The other forces completely dominate at that scale.
But bring it back down to Earth. Literally, you feel it constantly.
Every second.
That fundamental pull is what gives things weight. It affects water waves on the
Yeah,
ocean.
the tides pulled by the moon and sun.
Right. And it influences weather patterns, even how plants grow, that gravitropism thing.
Yeah, roots down, shoots up. It's guided by gravity and fluid circulation in us, in animals.
Yeah.
It's just woven into the fabric of life on Earth.
So pervasive. Okay, so how did we get to this understanding? Because, as you said, it wasn't obvious for a long, long time. This is where the story gets really interesting, I think.
It really is. It's a narrative stretching back millennia, not just one person, but hints and steps across cultures.
So who are the early thinkers?
Well, for ages, Aristotle's view was dominant in Europe, Earth at the center, so things fell because they were trying to get back to the center.
Simple enough, I guess.
And he also thought heavier things fell faster, which seems intuitive, maybe, but it's wrong.
Right, we know that now.
But even back then, there were other ideas floating around. Plutarch in Rome kind of hinted gravity wasn't just an Earth thing.
Oh, interesting.
And way over in India, around 628 CE, the mathematician Brahmagupta actually proposed gravity was an attractive force. He even had a word for it, Gurutvakarna.
Wow, 628 CE.
Yeah. And later, Al-Biruni in Persia also argued gravity wasn't unique to Earth, that it applied to other celestial bodies too. So the idea of universality was slowly emerging.
Moving away from just Earth being special.
Exactly. These were really important conceptual shifts.
Okay, so then we jump forward to the scientific revolution in Europe. Things really start to accelerate then, right?
They do. People started testing things, observing carefully. Domingo de Soto in 1551 noticed that things in free fall speed up uniformly. They accelerate.
Not just fall at one speed.
Right. And then you get crucial experiments. Giambattista Benedetti, Simon Stevin. They did that famous experiment dropping weights from the Delft Tower.
The one often credited to Galileo.
That's the one. They showed that objects made of the same stuff, but different weights, actually hit the ground at the same time, directly proving Aristotle wrong.
Oh, experimental evidence.
And then Galileo, he took it much further. His careful experiments, using ramps to slow things down.
Clever.
Yeah, it allowed him to measure accurately. He firmly established that gravitational acceleration is the same for all objects if you ignore air resistance.
Which is huge.
Massive. And he didn't stop there. He worked on inertia, the idea that things keep moving unless stopped, and the principle of relativity. Both became absolutely core ideas later on.
Foundational stuff. Okay, so while Galileo's looking down, what's happening looking up at the planets?
That's where Johannes Kepler comes in. He figured out how the planets moved. Not perfect circles, but ellipses.
His laws of planetary motion.
Exactly. Purely based on observation. Incredibly precise for the time. He described the what. He even had this sort of fuzzy idea of mutual attraction between planets, but couldn't explain the why.
He set the stage, though.
Perfectly. Then you have someone like Robert Hooke in England. Brilliant scientist.
Hooke, right. Newton's contemporary, sometimes rival.
You could say that. Hooke actually suggested the moon has its own gravity, and he even proposed an inverse square law for gravity around 1674. He wrote to Newton about it in 1679.
Really? So Hooke had the inverse square idea?
He did, or at least a strong hypothesis. That letter seems to have really spurred Newton on. But Hooke, well, he couldn't quite put it all together mathematically. He couldn't build the complete theoretical structure to explain everything.
Okay. He had pieces, but not the whole puzzle.
Exactly. He couldn't unify the falling apple and the orbiting moon with one set of rules.
And then comes the moment, the figure who puts it all together.
Isaac Newton. His Principia Mathematica in 1687. It's just monumental.
What made it so groundbreaking?
He provided the mathematical proof. He showed why Kepler's laws worked, deriving them from his law of universal gravitation, that inverse square law, even for elliptical orbits, which was mathematically tough.
So he connected the math to the observations.
And crucially, he unified celestial and terrestrial mechanics. The force pulling the apple down was the exact same force keeping the moon in orbit. Gravity was universal.
That's the conceptual leap, isn't it? It's not two different sets of rules.
Precisely. He also showed that inertial mass, how much something resists acceleration, and gravitational mass, how much gravitational pull it exerts or feels, were equivalent. He tested this very carefully with pendulums.
That sounds technical, but feels important.
It is. It hinted at something deep about gravity's nature, something Einstein would later build on. And Newton's predictive power was just incredible. The discovery of Neptune.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, astronomers noticed Uranus wasn't quite where Newton's laws said it should be. Its orbit had wobbles.
Okay.
So Bouvard, Adams, and Le Verrier independently used Newton's theory to calculate where an unseen planet must be gravitationally pulling on Uranus.
They predicted a whole new planet just from the math.
Exactly. And in 1846, astronomers pointed their telescopes where Le Verrier predicted, and bam, there was Neptune, found within a day. An absolutely stunning confirmation of Newton's theory.
Well, that's, yeah, that seals it for a while, I guess.
For a long while, yes. Newton's theory seemed perfect.
So if it was so perfect, what started to unravel? What were the little glitches that hinted Newton wasn't the final word?
Well, perfect is a strong word in science, right? It was incredibly successful, but there was this tiny, persistent anomaly, Mercury's orbit.
Mercury, the closest planet to the sun.
Right. Its orbit isn't perfectly stable. The point of closest approach to the sun, the perihelion, it shifts forward a tiny bit each orbit. Newton's theory accounted for most of this shift due to pulls from other planets.
But not all of it.
Not quite all. There was a tiny leftover amount, about 43 arcseconds per century. Doesn't sound like much.
43 arcseconds, that's minuscule.
It is. But it was measurable, and it stubbornly refused to fit Newton's equations perfectly. For decades, astronomers searched for explanations, maybe a hidden planet closer to the sun, maybe dust. Nothing worked. It was a crack in the Newtonian edifice.
A small crack, but a persistent one.
Exactly, pointing towards something deeper.
And that deeper something arrived with Einstein.
Albert Einstein, 1915. His general theory of relativity, GR, it wasn't just a tweak of Newton, it was a complete conceptual revolution.
So what was the big idea?
He reimagined gravity entirely. It's not a force pulling things across space. Instead, mass and energy actually warp or curve the fabric of space-time itself.
Whoa. Okay, space-time curvature.
Yeah, and objects, like planets, just follow the straightest possible path through this curved space-time. What we perceive as gravity is just motion along these curves.
So the Earth isn't being pulled by the sun. It's following a curve in space-time created by the sun's mass.
Precisely. A radical shift. It came from his happiest thought, the equivalence principle.
The happiest thought.
Yeah, his realization that if you're in free fall, say in that elevator with the cable cut.
You feel weightless.
Right. Locally, gravity disappears. You're in an accelerated frame, but it feels like there's no gravity. This insight that gravity is equivalent to acceleration was key. It connected Galileo's relativity, ideas about geometry from Gauss and Riemann. It brought it all together.
And GR didn't just explain Mercury's orbit, did it? It made other wild predictions.
Oh, absolutely. And their confirmation is what really cemented the theory, like light bending.
Light has no mass,
mm-hmm.
So Newton wouldn't predict gravity affecting it much, right?
Well, Newton might predict a tiny deflection based on his ideas about light particles, but Einstein predicted twice that amount because light follows the space-time curvature.
And that was tested.
Famously, yes. Yeah. Arthur Eddington's expedition during the 1919 solar eclipse, they measured starlight grazing past the sun.
Yeah.
And the deflection matched Einstein's prediction perfectly. It made Einstein a global superstar overnight. Changed everything.
Incredible. What else?
Gravitational time dilation. Time actually runs slower in stronger gravitational fields.
Wait, time runs slower?
Yep. Confirmed experimentally by Pound and Rebke in 1959 using gamma rays in a tower. Time at the bottom ran slightly slower than time at the top.
My brain hurts a little.
Mm-hmm. It gets better. Irwin Shapiro later measured it as a delay in signal sent to spacecraft passing near the sun. It's real, and it has to be accounted for in things like GPS systems.
Wow. Okay. And black holes, did GR predict those?
It implied them. The equation suggested that if you squeezed enough mass into a small enough space, the space-time curvature would become so extreme that nothing, not even light, could escape.
The ultimate gravitational trap.
Exactly. Initially, many physicists, including Einstein himself, were skeptical they could actually exist. But then, in 1971, astronomers found Cygnus X-1, strong X-ray source orbiting an invisible companion with way too much mass to be a normal star.
The first confirmed black hole.
First smoking gun, yes. A direct confirmation of one of GR's most bizarre implications.
And the confirmations kept coming, didn't they? Frame dragging.
Ah, yes. The idea that a massive rotating object, like Earth, should literally twist space-time around it as it spins.
Listing space-time.
Like stirring honey with a spoon. Incredibly subtle effect. But NASA's Gravity Probe B satellite, launched in 2004, measured it. Results in 2011 confirmed it. Space-time really does get dragged around by rotating mass.
Mind blown. Again.
And then the biggest one, perhaps, gravitational waves.
Ripples in space-time itself. Predicted by Einstein way back when.
Predicted in 1916, yeah. But thought to be far too weak to ever detect. They're generated by accelerating massive objects like colliding black holes or neutron stars.
Oh, we did detect them.
We did. In 2015, the LIGO detectors picked up the signal from two black holes merging over a billion light years away. A chirp signal exactly as predicted by GR.
That must have been an incredible moment for physics.
Unbelievable. It confirmed GR again in an extreme regime and literally opened a new way to see the universe. We're not just using light anymore, we're listening to the vibrations of space-time. And in 2017, we saw gravitational waves from merging neutron stars and the light from the explosion, confirming they travel at the same speed, the speed of light.
Just astounding. So GR seems to cover everything Newton did, plus all this new stuff.
Mm.
How else does gravity shape things out there in the cosmos?
Well, its role in astrophysics is just fundamental. Star formation, for example.
We touched on that earlier, pulling gas clouds together.
Right. It's this constant battle. Gravity pulls the hydrogen gas inwards, trying to collapse it. But as it collapses, it heats up, creating outward thermal pressure. Radiation from forming stars also pushes out.
Big cosmic tug of war.
Exactly. And the star's whole life cycle, its eventual fate, becoming a white dwarf, maybe a neutron star, or collapsing into a black hole, it all comes down to that balance between gravity and pressure. and how much mass it started with. Gravity is the ultimate sculptor of stars.
And you mentioned dark matter earlier. Gravity helps us see that too.
It's our main tool for understanding dark matter, yeah. We can't see it. It doesn't seem to interact with light.
Mm-hmm.
But it has mass, so it has gravity.
How much of it is there?
Current estimates suggest about 5/6 of all the mass in the universe is dark matter. Ordinary matter, the stuff we're made of, is just the tip of the iceberg.
5/6, that's most of it.
The vast majority. And we know it's there because of its gravitational effects. It forms these huge, invisible halos around galaxies. That extra gravity is what holds galaxies together, explains why stars orbit faster than they should based only on the visible matter.
So the galaxy rotation curves we mentioned.
Precisely. Dark matter's gravity provides the extra pull needed to explain those curves. And gravitational lensing gives us visual proof.
Lensing, right. Bending light.
Yeah. Massive objects, including dark matter halos, warp space-time enough to bend light from objects behind them. Sometimes it creates multiple images of the same distant quasar, like Einstein's cross.
Or images of one object.
Yep. Or it can stretch background galaxies into arcs or even complete circles called Einstein rings. We first saw this lensing effect clearly with a quasar back in 1979. It's stunning visual confirmation that mass bends light, and it helps us map where the mass, including dark matter, actually is.
So gravity lets us map the invisible majority of the universe.
That's pretty powerful.
Incredibly powerful.
Okay, so GR is amazing. Explains black holes, lensing, gravitational waves. But you said earlier there are still mysteries. Big ones. It sounds like we've got it mostly figured out.
Ah, if only we're that simple. This brings us to perhaps the biggest challenge in modern physics.
Which is?
General relativity. Our best theory of gravity is fundamentally incompatible with quantum mechanics. Our best theory of, well, everything else.
Compatible. They speak different languages. GR is smooth, continuous space-time. Quantum mechanics is chunky, probabilistic, dealing with discrete particles and fields. When you try to combine them, especially in extreme situations like the center of a black hole or the very beginning of the universe, the math just breaks down. It gives nonsense answers.
So our two best theories don't play nice together.
Not at all. Finding a theory of quantum gravity, one that unifies them, is arguably the biggest goal in theoretical physics. Maybe gravity is carried by quantum particles, gravitons, we don't know. Theories like string theory or loop quantum gravity try to bridge this gap, but they operate at incredibly tiny scales, the Planck length, far beyond our ability to test directly right now.
The holy grail, but maybe unreachable for now.
It's a massive challenge, and it's not the only puzzle.
What else is lurking out there?
Well, we mentioned galaxy rotation curves pointing to dark matter. That's one possibility. But some physicists wonder if maybe gravity itself behaves differently on galactic scales theories called modified Newtonian dynamics, or MOND.
So change gravity instead of adding dark matter.
It's an alternative idea, though it has its own challenges explaining things like galaxy clusters and the cosmic microwave background. And then there's the accelerated expansion of the universe.
Right. The universe isn't just expanding, it's speeding up.
Which is totally unexpected based on the gravity we know. Gravity should be slowing the expansion down, pulling everything back together.
So what's pushing it apart?
The leading idea is dark energy. Some kind of mysterious energy inherent in space itself, creating a sort of negative pressure, pushing things apart. But we have no idea what it actually is. It makes up maybe 70% of the universe's energy density.
So most of the universe is dark matter and dark energy, things we don't really understand.
Pretty much. It's humbling, isn't it? It is important to remember, though, that sometimes anomalies get resolved without new physics. The Pioneer anomaly, for instance.
What was that?
Two spacecraft, Pioneer 10 and 11, seemed to be slowing down slightly more than expected as they flew out of the solar system. For years, people speculated about new forces or modifications to gravity, but it turns out it was most likely just heat radiating unevenly from the spacecraft themselves, creating a tiny, tiny recoil force. A mundane explanation in the end.
So not all mysteries point to revelation.
Not always, but dark matter, dark energy, quantum gravity, these seem like really fundamental roadblocks pushing us towards new ideas about gravity and the cosmos.
Wow. What an incredible journey we've taken then through gravity's story. From just, you know, an apple falling.
Right, the simple
apple. All the way to colliding black holes, sending ripples through space-time itself, and these huge cosmic mysteries that remain. It's so much more than just a pull, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's the master force shaping the universe on the grandest scales. Stars, galaxies, the expansion of everything, it all hinges on gravity. And yeah, despite Newton, despite Einstein, despite centuries of incredible progress, it's still a frontier, still vibrant, still full of questions demanding answers.
It really makes you think. For you, our listener, maybe here's something to chew on. Gravity feels so constant, so everyday, so fundamental. But we've seen how even it holds these profound secrets, these deep conflicts between our best theories. So what other obvious parts of our reality, things we take for granted, might be hiding similar depths, similar transformative truths, just waiting for us to stumble upon them?
That's a great question. What else are we missing?
Keep looking, keep questioning. Observe gravity in your own world. It's doing more than you think.